And now, your Chilpack Hollywood Hour with Dean Haglund and Phil Lairness.
Phil, Dean, what will it be today? In a historic building in downtown Los Angeles. It's your Chilpack Hollywood Hour. It's your Chilpack Hollywood Hour.
Sitting in for Dean and Phil are Karen Foreman and Lily Holloman.
Hello, good morning, Los Angeles and the world at large. My name is Karen Foreman.
And I'm Lily Holloman.
And we are here to host this beautiful hour.
Of your Chilpack Hollywood Hour. Yes.
The podcast.
Dean is down under. Phil is on his way to Australia via swim. Across the Pacific.
We tried to talk about that.
No word so far.
Phil.
But
we hope no news is good news. But in this case,
I would assume
you
can't
be sure.
You can't.
Well, on that morbid note, so here we are. I'm Karen. I am an actress in Hollywood, and I do a lot of improv. I also teach improv to children, and I recently started doing stand-up comedy. So I am currently working on that, as well as a web series called I'm Triggered that you can find on YouTube or Funny or Die. I always feel so weird promoting myself, but here it is. Auditioning and, you know, all that jazz.
Loud and proud,
right?
Karen. Loud and
proud. I know. I'm just not a natural salesperson.
So what's your catchphrase in the stand-up comedy act?
Have captured a catchphrase. Because I have been inspired by other comics who also have catchphrases in their acts. Jeff Foxworthy has one. You know, if you're a redneck, if. Rodney Dangerfield, I don't get no respect. There's so many great ones. So the one I've been trying on for size since I started doing stand-up a few months ago is, am I right, ladies?
Am I right, ladies?
Am I right, ladies?
Amen.
You know, it really applies to everything. You can pretty much say that catchphrase after anything that you talk about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
So where can we see this stand-up comedy?
I will be performing at the Formosa Cafe on June 20th, a Saturday night. And I have some other friends in the show that are fantastic comedians as well. So I recommend that. So that's my next show. And how about you, Lily? Tell me about yourself.
My name is Lily Holloman.
I'm
glad to be here.
Nice to meet you.
Heck yeah. I wanted to make a quick shout out. This is not my first time as an audio personality. Freshman year of college through junior year, I was a DJ.
I was a DJ for a year in college.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh, we have so much in common.
Yeah. What was your DJ name?
I just used my real name. Isn't that just
I was
so...
DJ Snork.
Oh, that's so
and
much better.
And my co-DJ was Large Martian. And we had a show called Songs Not Featuring Sinbad.
Oh, my God. That is a really, I would like to hear that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it really applied to everything.
I just played classic rock on mine, pretty much.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, this was the terrestrial waves. Now we're venturing out into the internet world of audio sound. I'm also an actress. And I do a lot of that.
Yeah, you do. I just
saw
you
your question,
in a play.
What do you do?
Am recently,
I right,
and you rocked it.
You saw me in a play?
I saw you in that Sci-Fi Fest play, girl.
Oh my gosh.
Come on, you know it.
Yes, I was currently, not currently.
The Chilpack Hollywood live event of the week.
I was in Sci-Fest,
yeah,
which
were.
Was a live event of the week. And so SciFest is it was the second annual SciFest run by our favorite David Dean Bottrell. This
oh,
is his brainchild.
Nice, I did not know that was his.
Yes, and he came up with the Festival of One Act Sci-Fi Plays.
He is a wonder. That guy is
he
such
is a
sweet
little bit of
person.
A wonder indeed, a lot of a wonder.
And he teaches acting as well.
He teaches acting. He did my favorite turn on Boston Legal as Lincoln Meyer. And this SciFest is quite the phenomenon. It's going to be going on for years and years and years. This is the second year. They're opening in London in October.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
And my play was called A Billion Tuesday Mornings. And it was about my life taking care not my personal life, my character's life, taking care of her grown, obviously grown, he couldn't have been a child when he had me, her autistic.
But just for clarification,
it is sci-fi. her autistic father, who at the beginning of the play has finished his invention to transport us to parallel universes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very doubtful that this will work, and it turns out that it does.
And we
go from more and more extreme different universes throughout this 20-minute play.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes to be revealed that the reason he invented this in the first place was because he feels like a burden on my life and wanted to give me the option to kind of get rid of him or go to a universe where I don't need to take care of him. And it becomes very touching, and you looked surprised when I said that. Like you
Which part?
The
it went to parallel universe. No, what I got from it, I thought it was a very... I was like, huh. I saw it slightly differently, but, you know.
Oh, right, sure. That is how I interpret it in my mind.
Right.
But anyway...
It was a very poignant and touching play.
It's very touching, and we connect on an emotional...
At the end, I felt like he was actually the one taking care of you.
Exactly.
So that was sweet.
Exactly. I also am currently working on, I'm in a workshop at the Center Theater Group.
Ooh.
For an amazing new play. Aww. By a playwright named Jennifer Haley, directed by Matt Morrow. It's a play called Froggy in Development for the Center Theater Group. I can't say much about it, but it's been an honor to get to work there.
I bet. That's so exciting.
Very. So, let's move on to the Los Angeles Breakfast Club, shall we?
Let's do. I have such a warm... It warms the cockles of my heart to talk about the Los Angeles Breakfast Club.
What is the Los Angeles Breakfast Club, Karen Forman?
You ask.
Mm-hmm.
It is a place where we can commune once a week over a delicious breakfast.
Delicious.
And this breakfast club has been around since the early 1900s. I mean, you're the one that actually even told me about it. I'm grateful to you.
It's a 90-year-old club. Founded in 1925, we're in the 90th anniversary.
Still thriving
and
surviving.
It was founded by a group of studio execs and big businessmen who liked to ride their horses through Griffith Park early before they went to work. And so the stable owner started these breakfasts on Wednesday mornings in the garden, and it evolved into this huge thing. At one point, there was 1,000 members, and anyone who was anyone was a member. The Warner Brothers donated radio time, and they broadcast every meeting. They brought in major musical acts every week. The Velvet Fog performed there, Irving Berlin, you name
wow.
it, Red Skelton. Anyone who was anyone would go to the Los Angeles Breakfast Club. It still exists. Did you know? Not 2 months ago, you didn't.
I did not know that 2 months ago.
But the entertainment roster includes you now.
That's so true.
You were an act on the Los Angeles Breakfast Club.
I was so honored to be a part of it, and it's a pleasure to go every Wednesday morning. I did a comedy album with my dear, dear friend and comedy partner called The Big Tickle. His name is not The Big Tickle. His name is Brendan McNamara. just to be clear. And we got to do a radio hour, and it was so much fun for us because our comedy album really was a throwback to the Nichols and May, you know, the old Bob Newhart, wonderful comedy albums of yesteryear. And so it was really fun to craft one kind of specifically for the LA Breakfast Club. And
it's hilarious. How can someone find The Big Tickle online?
The Big Tickle is available on iTunes, and also we have a website, thebigtickle.com.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. And but anyway, so it was a thrill to be able to do it at the Breakfast Club, and the people that are involved there are just so sweet and special, and a lot of adorable older people.
Yeah, so when I discovered this,
mm-hmm.
it had
Which
gone
was
from
how long ago?
A year and 3/4 ago.
Nice.
I showed up. It has now had dwindled to about 25 members, mostly
wow.
of senior citizen age. And they still had all these old rituals, which I fell in love with.
Mm-hmm.
Pledge of Allegiance.
Secret handshake.
Secret handshake. Sing-along. Calisthenics.
Calisthenics, really calisthenics.
Amazing old school.
Exactly what
kind
you
of
would think of.
Yes.
When you hear calisthenics.
Mm-hmm. Old school plates and table mats and this sort of formality that's been lost in today's culture. And
mm-hmm.
And then a full breakfast and...
Which is delicious, by the way.
And either entertainment or lecture every single Wednesday between 7 and 9 a.m.
I know, right here in Los Feliz.
Yeah, on Riverside, 3201 Riverside Drive. If you want to come, Los Angeles Breakfast Club.
Just show up.
.com.
Yeah, it's on Facebook.
First time visitors eat free.
And then after that, it's only $7,
mm-hmm.
which is so cheap. And the breakfast is really delicious.
Mm-hmm.
You will not leave hungry.
No. So, you know, we're still in live events of the week because I wanted to talk about the Tony Awards.
Oh, yeah.
Because, Karen, you and I love the women in entertainment.
We are the women in entertainment.
We are. And we, so therefore,
we love the women in entertainment.
Through self-love, we love women.
It's a self-love.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Outward display of self-love.
Absolutely.
Of inner self-love.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it was, in fact, a historic night for women artists at the Tony Awards.
That's exciting news. Tell me more.
I don't know if you know this, but songwriters Janine Tesori and Lisa Krohn were the first female writing team to win a Tony.
Oh my gosh.
Ever.
It's high
first
time.
First female writing team ever.
That's crazy.
For the musical score in Fun Home.
Which I've heard so many good things about.
So many good things. A musical based on Alison Bechdel's graphic memoir about her own coming out and her relationship with her closeted father. And not only that, but it's the first musical starring a lesbian protagonist front and center.
Oh, I love it so much. And I ironically just heard about that musical a couple weeks ago because one of the parents of some of the kids that I teach had just gone to see it on Broadway and she was raving about it. And I didn't even know what it was about at the time. And then the other night when the Tonys were on, I talked to my parents because they were watching the Tonys and we're going to New York on Labor Day weekend, and they were wanting to pick a musical to see, and I suggested Fun Home, and I noticed it had won the best musical score, and so they are considering it. My mom was all for it. My dad had to think about it based on the subject matter. Now, he is not a prejudiced person at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just that he, you know, he wants to go to something he's... You know,
he wants
feels
to see
like he
on
can maybe
town.
Relate to or something like that.
On the town.
My dad is, by the way, a wonderful man.
Yeah, but just something more comforting.
But I'm just like, Dad, you don't want to see a lesbian coming of age story? Why? I don't get it.
A lot of revivals on Broadway right now,
yes.
So he can go see that. And you
I know. They originally they wanted to see The King and I, and I'm
sure.
And you know, I'm. Seen it, I enjoy it, but I want to see something new. I like seeing new musicals.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Broadway. It's kind of the same as the movie industry. It's a lot of pandering to audience wanting to be comfortable and blah, blah, blah. And then there's this art.
Yes, and Lily, as a side note, this is something I talk about in my stand-up. I cry hysterically when I see musicals. I really do. It is so embarrassing. Anytime I see a musical, I will start sobbing, and it doesn't have to be a sad musical,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't even happen while the musical's going on. It'll happen like the second the lights come up for intermission.
Sure.
I will literally lose it.
Wow.
I saw Wicked with my sister, and the second the lights came up for intermission, I immediately turned to her shoulder, put my face in it, and started sobbing. And then I just cried through the rest of the thing. I mean, I think to me, singing is the most vulnerable art form.
Oh, yeah.
So it feels to me like it would be like to me just being naked on stage.
I feel like this is something you need to explore. It's a calling.
Oh, God. I don't know about that.
I don't know.
Well, I'm just, you know, exploring it by seeing lots of musicals and crying
mm-hmm.
in them.
And I'm going to be holding your feet to the fire. I want to see
you
up on stage singing, girl.
Well, I did sing at a show at the Groundlings in the fall.
Okay.
But I'm not a professional singer, Lily.
But you can. You don't have to
be. I can carry a tune.
That's good.
That's as much as I can do.
Well, okay, Fun Home, let's see, Food for Thought, Krohn, one of the composers, this is a quote she made, which I thought was just something to think about. She said, "Often when producers and artistic directors look at young artists, I think people take chances on men based on their potential and women based on their accomplishments."
Oh.
I thought that was a fascinating observation.
That is so interesting.
I think it, there's some truth in that. Absolutely.
Jinx.
Jinx. Padlock. Throw me a Coke. Alison Bechdel, who was the inventor of Chilpak Hollywood's Hour's favorite Bechdel test.
Oh, right.
Do you know what the Bechdel test is, Karen?
I do. I need to be reminded of the questions.
So what it is, it's a movie that must feature at least two women who talk to each other and about something other than men.
Yes. That doesn't happen a lot.
Surprising. According to BechdelTest.com, Entourage qualifies.
Really?
I'm a little skeptical, but I'm intrigued.
I'm intrigued as well. The movie Entourage.
The movie Entourage.
Okay, fair enough. I watched some of that show, and I actually enjoyed it. And then at a certain point, I just started getting bored.
You got sick of it.
Yeah, I got tired of it. But it was entertaining. Absolutely. But the women not talking about men, that's something I need to see.
Yeah, it's a conundrum.
It is a conundrum. And then I'm like, do we support that movie? Do we go and purchase a ticket?
No, probably not. We'll probably rent it or watch it on maybe
Netflix or whatever.
Word of mouth. We'll find out.
Exactly.
So the director of Fun Home was Sam Gold, who is an amazing director in New York. And I had the honor of working with Sam Gold at South Coast Repertory in a production of Circle Mirror Transformation.
Wow.
And he won for Best Director. So I was very excited
about that. That is so awesome. That's so cool that you know him.
And
congrats to Sam.
Yes, big congrats. Another big win for the women at the Tonys, a female director, Marianne Elliott, won for The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
Ah, exciting.
Another autistic-themed centric play.
Yes, I did read that book. It was very, very good.
Absolutely.
I highly recommend it.
And then finally, I wanted to bring up 82-year-old Cheetah Rivera performed. And this is actually what grabbed me the most, is her performance from a scene of Candor and Ebb's new musical, The Visit. Dark and spare and Germanic and cool. She is the lead. It's about a wealthy woman who returns to her hardscrabble hometown to exact revenge on her former lover.
I love that plot. Never gets old.
I'm dying to see this, Karen Foreman.
I want to see it. 82 years old, she's a Hollywood relic.
And she was so poised and grounded, and she had a dance with a younger version of herself, and so there's all this kind of unconscious aging and
I
lost my train of thought there, but
exciting.
It's closing. Got rave reviews, but people didn't really go.
So it's
closing June 14th. So if you're in New York, go see The Visit.
And tell us all about it.
Yes, and I pray that it comes to LA and does better.
Me too.
So Karen Foreman.
Yes.
Do you think the fact that Cheetah Rivera is 82 years old has anything to do with the fact that despite great reviews and Tony nominations, it couldn't get an audience? Do you think this might be an issue of ageism?
That is a very interesting question. I wouldn't doubt it. And I literally was just listening to NPR yesterday, that segment called The Business. It's on, I think, at 2:30 here in LA. And they were interviewing the woman, Cristela, who was the star of her own sitcom, Cristela, this Latina comedian, and her sitcom was canceled. So the connection there is the Latina thing, which is very, you know, obviously such an underrepresented population in Hollywood. And also she felt the burden or the responsibility of then all those cast members that were employed on her show not having jobs anymore. So I think it's just, it's also that burden on women, not only like it's hard for people, women to get an equal amount of jobs, and there's the ageism piece, and then on top of that, there's that responsibility that I think some women feel to like, I've got to make this work so that I, you know, can employ more people. Interesting piece of news. I heard that Maggie Gyllenhaal recently revealed that she turned down a role in a movie
No, she was turned down.
I'm so sorry. That's of course what I meant. She was turned down for a role in a movie because she was too old to play the love interest of a 55-year-old man. That's a blow. And she said, there are things that are really disappointing about being an actress in Hollywood that surprise me all the time. That was during an interview for an upcoming issue of The Wrap magazine. She also added, I'm 37, and I was told recently I was too old to play the lover of a man who was 55. It was astonishing to me. It made me feel bad, and then it made me feel angry, and then it made me laugh. So she went through all the stages of grief, maybe, about that.
Sure.
And it is, it's so crazy when you see, like, when you just watch TV or any movie, really, and you see, like, these older men with these young women, and the way that men age somehow is sexy and rugged and cool, and then when women age, it's, like, grotesque or something. It's very...
And 37.
I mean, come on.
That's nuts.
That is totally nuts.
And the Amy Schumer sketch, the last effable day.
Yes, that was the best, actually.
With Patricia Arquette and Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Who I love.
And who was the third? Tina Fey. And they're way past 37. And 37 seems like a new
That's a new low,
low
for Hollywood.
Yeah,
yeah,
it really...
Hollywood,
yikes.
Shame on you.
Yes.
Yes. I love Amy Schumer so much for... Just
God
talking.
Bless
I love
her.
How she just talks about things that people don't really talk about so much.
You know, another reason why a female theater director winning this Tony is exciting to me is because of the difficulty women have getting directing jobs.
Yes.
And there, it seems, in the news, is there some hope? Well... The American Civil Liberties Union is calling on people in Hollywood via an email on Thursday to sign a petition urging the government to investigate and monitor the industry's biased hiring practices. How has it come to this?
I don't know. And also, isn't the government mostly ruled by men? How is that going to be helpful?
That is a really good point.
Thank you. yeah, I mean, it's thank you, ACLU. So appreciated, much appreciated. But it is sad that that we have to have the ACLU come and go to bat for us women in Hollywood. That is just kind of crazy.
So if you feel inspired, you can go online.
Mm-hmm.
The quote from them is, by signing it, industry professionals will tell three government civil rights agencies that gender bias against women directors in film and television is real and has gone on for far too long, and two, investigation and oversight from civil rights enforcement agencies to foster reform of the industry's biased hiring practices will be a welcome step, according to the email obtained by the Hollywood Reporter. Quote, our goal is to show the civil rights enforcement agencies that a significant number of people who are women directors or work with women directors want this long-running civil rights problem to be fixed.
Right. Let's fix it. I'm all for it. Is it? It's terribly cynical of me, but I feel like there's some people that just don't care. And that they're not going to pay much attention to that. It's kind of, I don't know, it makes me think of, like, this, back to Latinos represented in film. Like, that has, and Native Americans for that matter, that has been such a small percentage for so long and it hasn't changed. It just seems like sometimes it takes so long for things to change in these kinds of establishments, government, you know, Hollywood included. But there is a ton of hope. And one of those hopeful things, I mean, there's so many of them, but I actually read recently that Pitch Perfect 2 beat Mad Max at the box office, which is exciting. And according to NPR, more than half of the top 10 box office hits so far in 2015 are centered around female characters. Not necessarily empowered female characters, because one of those movies is 50 Shades of Grey. But still, that is a huge difference in the past, like, 30 years of box office top 10s. For them to be more than half this year is pretty huge.
That's a really interesting thing that you would say 30 years, because back in the 40s, way stronger, more empowered female characters in all these movies.
Interesting.
And so what happened in kind of the 80s and 90s and turn of the century, it is perplexing to me.
That is perplexing.
Because even in the 70s, there were some real grounded, strong women characters in film. And I think it has to do with the commercialization and the reduction of the art form and what that does to the art.
Mm-hmm.
And it is overall symbolic of that. Just the feminine, the creative force being reduced to these numbers and figures. So it mm-hmm. would only stand to reason that men would be the central.
Right. That's a really good point. Yeah.
So this goes back to the quote that I made earlier about men being hired based on potential and women being hired based on their track record. Well, how do you develop a track record if there's all these obstacles?
Exactly.
For roles, especially not only racially, and if you've got the combination of being a person of color and a woman, it's even more difficult. So some hope on that front.
Do tell.
What do? You band together.
Good plan.
And
I like it.
What did we find out? We found out that 7 African American female writers and directors, so a total of 14, have joined forces to create the horror anthology film 7 Magpies.
I'm already scared by that title,
yeah,
by the way.
Me Magpies, too. It sounds cool.
I'm frightened by it. And 7 of them? That's a lot.
It is.
This is also exciting because historically, black people are simply not represented in horror films, especially black women, at all. Like, it basically, what did L.C. Cruel, great name, creator and co-executive producer of 7 Magpies, is a longtime writer-director, and she was inspired by the fact that that black women especially have not been a part of horror films. And she says, it's not a question of not existing, it's a question of not being believed in, backed, funded, hired, given a seat at the table. And she added, as hot as horror anthologies are right now, not one black woman has been included in a single one, not even the all-female one, XX, which is slated for a 2016 release.
That's absolutely insane.
It's so insane, and I'm just so inspired to hear about women banding together. I think really that is the best thing that we can do and really our only choice. And that reminds me of that organization called Women in Film. Apparently they have networking breakfasts the third Friday of every month, and I have, sad to say, I have not been to one yet, but I'm very inspired to go. Mm. And I heard recently from a friend of mine that Meryl Streep, because of all of this stuff about women in the industry and specifically ageism, she ran the screenwriting competition. The deadline was this past June 1st for only women over 40. And a friend of mine submitted one of her screenplays. And so there's people like that. And there's the Lena Dunhams, the Amy Schumer, like we talked about, Tina Fey, Sarah Polley, Jill Soloway, all these, wonderful female entertainers, artists, writers, who I think we just have to continue to focus on.
Carve this new path.
Yeah, to carve this new path.
And I have to say, the 7 Magpies sounds cool.
It does.
It's inspired out of the classic superstition of the titular bird as an ill omen.
The number of
magpies one sees determines if one will have bad luck or not.
Of the title.
And the film's name and plot. Oh, is it titular?
It's fine.
Oh, okay. is straight out of the creepy nursery rhyme. And who doesn't love a creepy-ass nursery rhyme?
There's a lot of creepy nursery rhymes.
I just love creepy nursery rhymes.
One about the baby and the
tree. This is untapped territory.
The cradle will rock. That's very creepy.
It is.
Let's not make that baby fall out of a tree.
Or let's.
No, that's not a happy.
No,
no,
you're
let's
right.
not. Let's
no,
not.
We don't like babies falling out of trees.
No, we don't.
Apparently, according to the rhyme, it's the baby's fine. I mean, I just wanted to reassure
you. Well, thank
you
because all that stuck with me was that the baby fell out of the tree.
Sure. That's understandable.
It is.
And I wanted to travel back to your statement about Pitch Perfect beating Mad Max in the box office. And is this a victory? It's a fine line, because Mad Max is actually quite a feminist movie. And Max is kind of in the background, and this woman, lead character, Charlize Theron, is so powerful and grounded and tough, and the movie from start to finish is a work of art. And I don't like action movies.
And I actually do like action movies, and I have not seen it yet. So you can definitely speak to this more. And I know there has been a lot of talk about the fact that she's really the lead.
She's the lead, and she's kind of coming out of the... It's to me, it embodies where we are right now in this post-apocalyptic kind of deconstructed, barren... And we're not villainizing men, obviously,
no.
But this...
I love men.
Sort of...
Am I right, ladies?
Am I right, ladies? But this overbearing presence, this controlling, contrived empire that's taken over, and this feminine presence that's breaking out and trying to find a place to replant roots, to call home with this group of women that she's trying to rescue. And a lot of people are boycotting this movie. They're saying it's feminist propaganda. There's whole websites devoted to it.
Well, good, because it just gives more attention to women.
That's a good point.
Ultimately. What is that? No press is bad press? I don't know if that's entirely true, but at least it's getting attention. It's something that's being talked about.
You make a good point.
And I say it all to people that are upset about it. Drink a beer.
Am I right, ladies?
Drink a beer. Am I right, ladies? Just have a drink. Relax.
Yeah.
Just enjoy.
We're easy.
Why are we getting so mad, guys?
We're not trying to take over your place and your man cave.
No, we're never going to do that.
We respect your man
cave. We don't know how to use power tools. That's not true. Some of us do. But I'm just saying, like, don't be threatened by women.
No.
There's nothing to fear but fear itself.
Exactly.
And that has nothing to do with women. So what else are we talking about today in this corporate takeover of the Hollywood Chill Pack Hour?
Yes. We're taking over the proverbial pod castle.
Oh, I like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So you know what I saw recently? Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron.
You did? Is that in the movie theaters? I'm so embarrassed. I've not seen any movies in months.
It is
in the theater.
It is in the theater.
Okay. I need to go to the theater. I think what got me is that I was randomly nominated to be on the movie committee for SAG, for the SAG Awards this past year. So I got all the movies in the mail. So I never had to go see a movie in a theater. I haven't stopped that pattern.
You created some new behavior.
I did, and I don't like it at all. I couldn't even keep up. There were so many of them, but...
Oh, yeah, it's quite the responsibility.
It really is. But now, Marvel's Avengers, now that sounds to me like an action movie, which you don't enjoy.
You know, I enjoy anything that is emotionally centered and motivated, that we can track and care about the lead character.
Sure.
And
makes sense.
And this particular film fails on all levels.
Oh, no.
On that front. And frankly, comic book movies are on my last nerve.
Oh, no.
It's just too much.
Tell me
you
more.
You know, leave me wanting...
Take a minute to vent about
leave
it.
Leave me wanting more. You know what I mean? I loved the Avengers movie, and I... Sure, I wanted more, but don't give it to me necessarily. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's hysterical. You know,
yeah.
Lily, it did get 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. I am not trying to...
No. User, it's 73%.
Oh, 73. Yeah, the users liked
the
it.
Users. Oh, Metacritic 69%.
Whoops.
Okay. Well, anyways, I fully respect your opinion.
There was no central, you know, because Joss Whedon had a terrible time trying to fit in all these different characters' plot lines and make it a piece of the larger Marvel Universe puzzle. And so there was nothing to latch onto. There was no one protagonist.
That's crazy.
It was just like a video game from start to finish.
Mm.
And on top of that, there was a troubling rape joke thrown in. Really? Yes. Rodo Jr., Robert Downey Jr., that's my nickname for him.
Oh, I like that, Rodo Jr.
Yeah. Sounds so he says if he becomes emperor of Thor's land, that he's going to reenact, he's going to bring back, what was it?
Prima Nocte.
Prima Nocte, which is where the king can come in and just rape all the women.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
That was a cute little joke they just blithely threw in there and didn't think about the ramifications in
any
way.
Good times.
On top of that, the two lead actors made fun of Scarlett Johansson's character.
Oh, no.
By saying that the character was a whore. Yeah. Just a funny little joke that you just toss off, right?
Right. I tell those jokes all the time. Did you hear about the the Prime Minister of India? The other day, he set off a firestorm by saying, he was complimenting Bangladesh's Prime Minister, Sheikh Hasina, for being tough on terrorism, quote, despite being a woman.
Ooh.
So, you know, it's great that we're not alone in our prejudice against women.
Yeah,
isn't
it makes
wonderful?
Me sleep.
It's warms the cockles of my heart. I don't know what cockles are, but I love that word.
Yeah, cockles.
Cockles. Well, that is very disturbing,
mm-hmm.
And upsetting. And I'm sorry that that movie failed on so many fronts for
but
you.
But I do love the Scarlett Johansson character. I think there are some strong women characters in this universe.
Fantastic.
Agent Carter is a fantastic character in that universe. She
awesome.
Is of the 1940s. Glamorous persuasion.
Oh, love
which
the
we
40s
love.
Glamour girls.
And they're about to have a, she has her own TV show. It was renewed for a longer 10-episode second season set in L.A. during the dark and glamorous 1940s.
And that's where women, that was a decade, as you were saying earlier, that women were in lots of movies, leading lots of movies. Maybe we just need to time travel back to the 40s.
Am I right, ladies?
Am I right, ladies? I think we are right.
I think so.
That's not even a question anymore. Yes, we're right. Why is that a question? Oh, God.
Tomorrowland, Karen Foreman.
Yes, tell me everything because I've not seen any movies. So please tell me all about it.
Well,
I
just saw this movie and Brava, that's the female version of Bravo.
Ooh.
For making this a female protagonist. I applaud that effort, and I applaud the effort to make it about building a better future, a more
mm-hmm.
sustainable future. Story-wise, it was a wreck.
Oh.
I'm going to give the writers the benefit of the doubt and say they wrote a good script with
mm-hmm.
one central character, and then George Clooney came on, and the powers that be said, we got George Clooney, we have to make him give him a bigger part.
Absolutely.
So all of a sudden there's a split protagonist, and therefore makes the movie very unsatisfactory on a basic level. And in terms of the race note, I was very touched. Spoiler alert. At the very end, they have this beautiful image of people of all colors, all ages, all genders, standing in a field about to work together to save the future.
Mm.
On the same hand, it's still like a group of white people that, you know, ultimately, originally save everything. So I want to see the movie about that group banding together and saving the world. That sounds awesome.
Let's write that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you are a Lifetime movie fan.
I was in a Lifetime movie, Karen Foreman.
What?
Yes.
Lily, there's so much we don't know about each other.
I know, but it makes for spontaneous conversation.
It sure does. Well, my mom is a huge Lifetime movie fan, and whenever I go home, we will sit or lie in her bed and watch Lifetime movies together. And most of the time, she has already seen them once
mm-hmm.
or twice. But
mm-hmm.
anywho, Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig are making a Lifetime movie, which is kind of shocking.
Whoa.
On many levels. But it's called A Deadly Adoption, which is very Lifetimey title-wise.
What?
If anyone knows anything about Lifetime movies, they'll always have these titles that say exactly what the movie's going to be about. You know exactly what it's going to be about. So it's a dramatic thriller. They are a successful couple who
Ooh.
House and care for a pregnant woman. And that woman is played by 90210 alum Jessica Lowndes.
The second 90210. It's not our 90210. Not the,
no. Goodness,
so,
no. Mm-hmm. In the hopes of adopting her unborn child, then, as you can imagine, based on the title, things go awry.
Ruh-roh.
Now, this movie is described as campy, fun, a contemporary wink at the genre.
Okay.
And It Comes as Lifetime is poised to mark the 25th anniversary of its TV movie business. Now, I want to say right now, I'm so excited to see this movie because I love when people can make fun of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, and who better to do that than Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig?
And the Lifetime Network.
And the Lifetime Network finally is making fun of themselves.
Yes.
And I love Lifetime, and also it's great that they're making fun of themselves. So.
Yeah, it sounds spectacular. Oh, yeah, so what I brought up before,
yes,
I did inform Karen that I was, in fact, in the movie called Queen-Sized.
Queen-Sized.
It's,
Now that, I don't understand what that means.
Well, I'll explain it to you.
Good.
This was back when I was playing high school students.
A couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. And what it is a group of mean girls in high school band together as a joke and joke nominate a heavyset girl for prom queen.
Oh.
Well, at first she's traumatized by the laughter, but then she perseveres and actually gets elected.
Oh my gosh.
Can you believe it, Karen?
I can believe it. I actually can believe it. It's a Lifetime movie. Was it based on a true story?
It was.
I knew it!
Amen!
Yes, Lifetime.
Yes! Mm. You won't believe this other thing. Mm-mm. I got to do a bucket list scene.
No.
Yes. I got to start a slow clap in a stadium.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. That is very bucket list.
It is.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Pinnacle moment of the movie.
I got to do it. That is so exciting. I want to see that movie.
Yeah.
I remember Melissa, Little House on the Prairie, Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa Gilbert was in a lot of those Lifetime movies.
Yeah.
And I was a huge Little House fan, so that was exciting. And that was there was a lot of females on that show. Anywho, that's really off the subject.
So, speaking of TV.
Yes, let's hear more.
The return of David Lynch to Twin Peaks.
I mean,
hallelujah.
You know what? How good this news is. It's so good that it could almost distract me from the fact that Game of Thrones is ending this week, and I'm devastated.
Oof.
People across the world, I don't know if you watch that show.
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's devastating that it's over.
Speaking of magpies, am I right, ladies?
Oh, the world at large mourns for the end of every season of Game of Thrones. But anyways, David Lynch, Twin Peaks, what could be finer? Thank you, Showtime.
Thank you. It's doubled its order to 18 episodes.
Oh, thank the
this
good
game
Lord.
Of hardball they played over the media worked.
Oh, did they play hardball?
Oh, major. Do David tell. Lynch, he backed out of it for a minute. Yeah.
Oh, because
he wasn't getting the budget he needed to make the show he wanted, and he took a stand, and now he's back on. They'll be filming 100% at the original locations, which wasn't even the case in the series.
Wow.
So, and the original location is spooky. It's up in Washington State, right outside of Seattle.
Oh my gosh, fantastic.
So, do we care? Yes.
Yes, we do care.
Can't wait.
Can't wait to have Kyle MacLachlan back on TV very regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And not as the mayor of Portland.
Oh,
although
but we
I'd
love
loved
him.
His turn as the mayor of Portland in Portlandia.
Oh, man.
He is a dream come true.
Absolutely.
I loved him on Sex and the City.
Speaking of Twin Peaks, how much fun would it be to be on Twin Peaks?
I would love to be on Twin Peaks.
Yeah,
fantastic
even an extra,
show.
Because the extras get great gigs. You just stand staring into space in a crazy costume in the woods or,
oh my gosh,
you know, whatever.
I would love that so much.
And you get like an under five, but it's all backwards.
I'll take it.
You know what I mean?
And it's underwater.
Exactly.
What a dream come true. I heard the other day that people actually travel to where they will, where they're filming Game of Thrones, which is all over the world, just to be an extra. And they're like, I want to be an extra. I will pay for my flight. I will pay for my, you know, everything. And I would, I think I'm one of those people that would actually do that just to be on Game of Thrones. I just don't want to play a woman in a brothel. But other than that, I would love to play like someone in the stadium.
Like burlap? Is there a lot of burlap?
There's
in that
some
world?
Burlap. There is burlap. Yeah, there's a lot of burlap. I mean,
like
there's
a
some
lot of moist burlap, I feel.
Yes.
That's kind of why I don't watch it.
You know what, Lily? I can't. I mean, I could spend the next hour, the next Chill Pack Hollywood hour, talking to you, or Hollywood Chill Pack hour, pardon me, just convincing you how you need desperately to watch Game of Thrones. And there are a lot of women on that show in powerful character situations. Now, there are also a lot of prostitutes. But it's really just such a good show on so many levels. I can't recommend it enough. And I'm also envious that you haven't seen it yet, because then you have the whole 5-season journey ahead of you if you should start
well,
to watch it.
Why don't you walk me through the genre? Because I was in 7th grade when we studied medieval history.
Mm-hmm.
And the combination of the awkward, horrifying time of 7th grade and studying medieval dark ages sort of leaves me with an aversion to that type of fantasy.
Right, so you have a bad association.
Yes.
Bad associations can be a killer. They really can. But think of it this way. You are now
sure
the medieval times with a new time in your life where you are in a center theater group production upcoming. And you're in a wonderful place in your life. You're co-hosting a podcast. Think about the joy that you could experience Game of Thrones with. And then once you realize what a fantastic show it is, oh my gosh, you're off to the races.
You're so good. I'm going to be imagining holding your hand while I watch this.
You know what? It's funny you should say that, because so I've been hosting Game of Thrones nights every Sunday night. And so, of course, the finale is this Sunday we're going to be watching. Well, we decided, because we're so devastated it's over, that the next week we're going to start the series from the beginning. Mm. So I would like to invite you over just
okay.
for the first Sunday night.
All right.
Give it a test.
Give
we'll watch
it a
the
test.
First two episodes. And see how you like it.
I'll see.
Okay.
I'll take that
about
journey.
It. I want you to pledge and promise me on this not live podcast. Well, it's live right now, but it's not currently streaming until later, that you will be there.
Okay.
But that's a lot of pressure. And
I mean, I didn't lose a bet, but I will take your challenge.
Oh, good. I'm so excited. If you guys could see me right now, I have my hands up in the air. I'm like pumping my fists. I'm so thrilled.
Am I right, ladies?
Yeah, that's right. Always. You're always right.
Is this the time to go through our conclusion?
Let's
no.
move. Let's
and
move
more
forward.
Bucket list items?
Can we move
so
forward?
So, you know what?
Is that possible?
It's
10:58.
I did want to say.
Yes.
Another bucket list scenario instead of specifics. Just a scenario. Christmas
it.
Movie, I want to save Christmas.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
We're not going to have Christmas this year. That's the structure of every Christmas kind of Hallmark type movie.
Is it?
Will there be a Christmas?
Oh,
and
I
then somebody
saying.
Stands up and says, I've got a solution. I've got the money. I can do it. And everyone says, yay, Christmas is saved. Our dear friend Richard Waterhouse got to do this in a Hallmark original starring Candace Cameron.
I love those Hallmark movies.
I forget the name, but he got to do it. And that inspired me to say, I'm not going to lower my standards. I'm going to save Christmas one of these days.
Girl, I love it.
And speaking of Candace Cameron, the Full House remake.
Yes. They're remaking the Full House.
Oh, spontaneous
oh,
moment.
Dear Lord.
You didn't even know.
No, I did not know.
This is exciting that I can divulge this information to you. You seem world weary about it.
Well, no, go on.
No, I agree. Rehashing.
You know, I don't know. I mean,
and they're remaking Coach. Did you like Coach?
You know,
were
Coach,
you like a big coacher?
I wasn't a big coacher, but I feel like I appreciated Coach a little bit more than I appreciated Full House.
Sure.
But
sure.
Now I feel like as an adult, I need to rewatch all, you know, both of those things so I can give my full opinion.
Do you?
Sunday
well.
Nights.
Sunday yeah. Nights. No, that will not. We will not impinge on Game of Thrones.
Double feature.
Double feature. Well, and I also saw Alanis Morissette in this interview on Oprah, and That makes me think of Full House, too, because she dated one of those dudes for a while. When she was very young, by the way.
Wow. That doesn't seem like a...
A lot of her songs were about him.
Really? Which one? Uncle Jesse or...
No, the Sandy guy?
No.
Guy, the jokester guy?
The jokester was about you've gotta know?
Yeah.
Like, are you thinking of me when you're with your other woman?
That's right.
Wow.
I know.
That puts a comedic bent on that whole song.
It really does.
Somebody needs to make one of those internet videos with images of him and that song.
Maybe they do. Oh, well, here we go.
Wrapping it up.
Let's wrap it up, Lily.
I want to let you know, because you probably don't know this, that this show was brought to you by Empire State Gas.
Really?
Yes, it's an organically grown and gluten-fortified gas company.
Well, that's too bad because I don't eat gluten, but go on.
Empire State Gas, from farm to pump, we've got great gas.
That is an amazing...
That's the truth.
...saying.
...of the matter.
Well, I love it.
I also want you to know that all 421 episodes of your Chill Pack Hollywood Hour are available for your listening pleasure, thanks to Blog Talk Radio. And you can enjoy them at chillpackhollywood.com. You can continue to enjoy great new episodes off the top of my head on iTunes, Stitcher, and through our friends at fanboynation.com.
And you can also like your Chill Pack Hollywood Hour on Facebook. Just look up Chill Pack Hollywood.
That's Chill Pack with a K.
Just a K and no C, you
for
guys.
Karen.
It's tricky.
For Karen.
It's for Karen. Mm-hmm. You can follow Chill Pack on Twitter and their little name on Twitter. What's that called? Not name, but a...
At.
Right, but what's the... Twitter handle. Their Twitter handle is at Dean and Phil. And you can also write them if you're feeling inspired to send in some email to them. You can't snail mail them, but you can email them at chillpackhollywood@yahoo.com. Dean and Phil, by the way... We'll be back next week.
Don't worry.
With
it's
a
not going to be all about
guest.
Women.
They'll be back with a special guest. We will be back in a fortnight helping Dean and Phil change the way you listen to the internet. Am I right?
Am I right, ladies? Mm-hmm.
Am I right, ladies?